May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
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 I want to share with you today just a brief reflection on St. Francis. Starting with just a little bit of a teaching about saints, which may or may not already be familiar to you, I don't know. In the Episcopal Church, when we talk about saints, we use the word a little bit differently than is often the case, either in the secular world or, for example, in the Roman Catholic Church. Often when we use the word saint, we mean somebody who is different from us normal folk. Someone who has some particular holy qualities that sets them apart, that makes them different. Certainly to achieve formal sainthood in the Roman Catholic Church, there is a process by which the saints actually have to prove that they are extraordinary, or their advocates have to prove that they are somehow endowed with holiness and saintliness in an unusual measure, beyond what is the experience of us everyday folk. So saints are wonderful people, but they are different from normal folk. And I think even in secular usage, when we call someone a saint, it's usually said with admiration, but admiration for the fact that they have some extraordinary qualities that set them apart from the rest of us. In the Episcopal Church, when we talk about saints, when we use the word saints, we use it in the New Testament usage and the way that Paul used it. And when Paul wrote his letters, you may have heard this before, when Paul wrote his letters to the saints in Rome, or to the saints in Corinth, or to the saints in Philippi, he was writing to the whole community. He wasn't writing to those who were somehow specially set apart. He was writing to all those who were gathered together in this yearning pursuit of God and of community and of holiness. The saints, in Paul's usage and in the Bible's usage, were everyone. Everyone who was seeking Jesus. Everyone who was coming together to try and understand and grow in the faith. There weren't some who were more special than others, or more holy or more saintly than others. When Paul wrote to the saints to encourage and teach, he was writing to everyone, regardless of where they were on their faith journey, regardless of whatever qualities they might or might not have had. All of those who were drawn together were the saints. And that is how we use the word saint. We talk about the saints as being the community of the faithful, the community of the seekers, the community of those who are seeking God. All of us are saints, equal one to another. Now we do, historically, the church, the Episcopal Church, has identified certain figures across history that serve as teaching examples to us. As teaching examples, but they are powerful as teaching examples to us specifically because they are like us, not because they are different from us. These folks whom we remember across history and even up into the present day, these people who we learn about and whom we study, who we look to as examples, they serve as examples to us because they are realistic examples of what we might be, of how we might live as people in our own lives. They are not different. They are the same, and therefore are helpful and encouraging examples to us of who we might be. Francis falls into that category, and he is no greater nor less than any of the other people whom we remember, or than you or I. No different, no better, We remember in our calendar, in our teaching calendar in the Episcopal Church, we remember all sorts of people as having something to teach us. People just like us, who have qualities that can inspire us. We remember people like, this is one of the first ones in the January Remembrance, Vedana Yagam Samuel Azariah. We remember him as the first Indian-born archbishop in the Indian subcontinent within the Church of England. He was a powerful antidote to colonial imperialism and also a graceful advocate for ecumenism. We remember Harriet Bedell, a deaconess and missionary to the Native Americans in Florida. We remember Frederick Douglass as having something to teach us all. The poet George Herbert, Oscar Romero and Thomas Cranmer, very different historical figures. We remember John Muir and Johannes Kepler. Bach and Handel are in our calendar of remembrance. As are one of my favorites, the martyrs of Memphis, Constance and her companions. Episcopal nuns who stayed in the city of Memphis, Tennessee in the late 1800s as the yellow fever ravaged that country along the river, and thousands died. They stayed to offer health care to those in need. People with qualities no different than ours, who may yet inspire us and be examples to us of creativity, of faithfulness, of justice, of beauty, of care. And Francis is among that group. Those of whom we have heard and those of whom we have not. In the description of Francis that occurs in our catalog of remembrances, there's a phrase that has always stuck with me. Francis is described as among all those saints whom we remember. Francis is described as being the most admired and the least emulated. The most admired and the least emulated. I don't know how much of his story you know. We might think of him as being the least emulated because when we look upon St. Francis, we see him as having undergone huge self-sacrifice. He was born into wealth and power and privilege. He initially sought military glory, lived it up on his father's fortune. But he gave it all up. And when we focus only on that sacrifice, it is perhaps no surprise that he is little emulated today. But I found myself focusing on the admired part of it, of Francis. What is it that I admire about Francis? Not beating myself up for not giving up everything right away, but thinking about what I admire in Francis. What is it in Francis that's admirable? What is it that I might aspire to? What is it that I look to with admiration? And it's not so much what he did that I admire, but who he was. Who he was and who he became. Qualities of himself and qualities of his living. We think of St. Francis, and it may partly be our imagination, but it's based also upon his writings. We think of Francis as a man of simple joy, who found joy in everyday life, in the rising of the sun and in the twinkling of the stars. A man of simple joy. We also know from his own prayers and writings that he was a person of peace. Not only did he seek peace in the world, he was a person of inner peace, who knew a sort of deep contentment that I certainly envy and admire. And we also know one as someone who saw himself in communion with creation and all of God's creatures. Literally in communion. Sharing in the lives of creation and all of God's creatures. He called them brother and sister. The sun and the moon, and the creatures, the birds. Someone in communion with God's created wonder. Those are things to admire. Being a person of joy and peace, who is in communion with God's creation. Yes, he gave up privilege, power, and possessions. He gave up the need to have things for himself, to have position over others. He gave that up. But in giving that up, I think he made space for the seeds of joy and peace that were already there to grow. Those seeds of joy and peace, that potential for communion that I think God gives to all of us, that God plants in all of us as a part of God's creation. Francis just made room in his own life for those seeds that were already there to grow. The seeds of joy, peace, communion with creation. It's a very simple story. Francis's life illustrates a path that is open to all of us. A pathway from privilege to peace, from possessions to shared communion with others and creation, from power to joy. Francis did not have some extraordinary qualities that set him apart, different from any of us. We have the same potential. We have the same seeds within us. And looking to what I admire in Francis is pretty powerful incentive for me to gradually let go of some of those things that block the growth of that love and joy and communion within me. Not so hard, but as a way of opening up a pathway to the life that I so much admire in Francis. Listen to a portion of the collect that is appointed for St. Francis's Day. Most high, omnipotent, good Lord, Francis's own words, most high, omnipotent, good Lord, grant your people grace to renounce gladly the vanities of this world. That following the way of Blessed Francis, we may come to delight in your whole creation with perfectness of joy. Amen.